So let us continue and finish House Bill 2716's public hearings. I'd like to call forth the witnesses for House Bill 2716. We are in public hearing. We have Marcia Kelly from the Women's Rights Coalition, she's here. We have Jerry Chipper from the Oregon Food Bank. I'm sorry, probably mispronounced that. It was Chipper, thank you. And Patty Whitney from WISE. And then Mr. Chuck Shetikoff from the Oregon Center for Public Policy. So please come forward in any order you choose. Take a chair and we'll continue with our public hearing on House Bill 2716. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Charles Shetikoff from the Oregon Center for Public Policy. I'm here today in support of House Bill 2716A. This bill deals with a subsidy program for child care for working families. Families who have income from earnings and have high child care costs relative to their income. I'm going to explain let me explain the problem the bill seeks to address. Imagine for a moment that you're the Ways and Means Committee, and for Senator Minnis, that's not hard, having been chair of the Appropriations Committee in session past. And then this might be harder for you to imagine, I'm the head of the Adult and Family Services Division or the Child Care Division. I was asking you to approve a subsidy program for child care. And I told you that in my program, I was going to give up to 51 times the subsidy to the person earning $15.50 an hour, which exceeds the median hourly wage in this state, than I was going to give to the minimum wage worker. I would imagine most of you would say that doesn't make a lot of sense. We shouldn't be giving a bigger subsidy to someone who's earning well above median wage than we are giving to the minimum wage worker. That's what the current law does today, because it's not refundable. Making it refundable allows people to get the full benefits of the law. As Representative Shetterly mentioned, the earlier part of this hearing, the bill was refundable when it left the Senate twice in 1997 and was changed on the House. They've seen their ways and have improved it this session. Senator Minnis left the room, but I would like to address the issue of why this versus a general fund spending to a program. No longer is there a match, really, for a dollar spent to get dollars out of the federal government for the welfare program and the employment-related daycare program he was alluding to. There's a block grant for Oregon, and Oregon gets that money and spends it all. What this is needed for is what Representative Shetterly referred to, which is the state's maintenance of effort requirement. It's not a matching requirement. It's a requirement to maintain a minimum level of spending, which Oregon is having a difficult time doing. We're down within a few million dollars of the limit and penalties to our federal welfare block grant. The funds associated with a refundable portion of a credit such as this can count towards maintenance of effort. And that's why I believe the Ways and Means co-chairs will seriously consider this as a part of even the 01-03 biennium and move the date back to the way it was introduced by Representative Shetterly, Representative Rosenbaum, because it's needed for maintenance of effort. It also offsets cuts, in large part, cuts to the employment-related daycare program, the subsidy program. The governor's budget is proposed, and the co-chair's budget to date has regrettably cut about $18 million from the child care subsidy program in the state. And this helps offset those and solves what is a significant inequity in the system. I would be happy to answer any questions. You'll see attached to my testimony is a chart that's also... I didn't hand this out. Oh, sorry. There's a chart that, and you may have this report in your bill folders if you released it earlier, showing what the problem with the credit is, and it shows how that people are not enjoying the full credit. Some people have questioned whether or not refundable credits are appropriate for low-income people who don't have high tax liability. I can tell you that most credits in Oregon have what's called carry-forward provisions because people don't often have the liability to use the credit. Carry-forward provisions are inappropriate with regard to this credit for three reasons. 1st, the credits used for meeting current work-related expenses and a carry-forward position provision would put off that credit for a year or more. Second, credit carry-forwards only work well where the expense goes away or your income goes up that you can use them. That's not likely to occur with child care. And last, they require more intensive bookkeeping and complicated tax records, which are not so readily available to low-income working families. So it's not unusual. In fact, it's the order of the day, frankly, that we pass credits that people can't use with their tax liability. We give them a way of using it called carry-forwards, but it's inappropriate to use a carry-forward with a low-income credit such as this because it'll never get used, and what gets used will be too late, and it would add too much complications. I urge you to support House Bill 2716. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Shedekoff. Any questions for Mr. Shedekoff? Senator George?
I'm understanding this right. This is basically accomplishing what Senator Hamby's bill was trying to do in 97.
Mr. Chair, Senator George, exactly. It did, in 97 bill that Senator Hamby and the Senate President had was this measure, and it passed the Senate with two different times,
right,
different starting dates, and it was refundable. But because it got put into the budget debate at that time, they didn't at the end of session, there wasn't enough money, and the way they fixed it was, they didn't fix it, they broke it, they made it non-refundable. Okay, so what this does is does what the original bill that Senator Hamby and the Senate President and that you supported.
Absolutely, I did. In fact, you remember Okay.
Further questions, Senator Trump?
No, I was just going to give a little commentary on that, but has he just said that?
Other questions? thank you. And any of the other witnesses that they choose?
Chair Ferrioli and members of the committee, my name is Marcia Kelly, and I'm the lobbyist for the Women's Rights Coalition. Our organizational members are the American Association of University Women of Oregon, the Oregon Women's Political Caucus, Delta Kappa Gamma, Oregon's Older Women's League, Oregon National Organization for Women, and the YWCA. We also have individual members. Our organization has worked for over 25 years for efforts to support women, children, and families through equitable treatment under the law. This bill would help that effort. Currently, a tax credit is available to low-income families who are the working poor. But a tax credit does no good if on April 15th of any given year you do not make enough money to have to write an additional tax check to the state. You pay taxes, but you don't make enough money to owe additional taxes. As the Oregon tax incident model shows, as Representative Shetterly mentioned, the low-income Oregonian pays a higher percentage of their income in taxes than those in the middle. This bill would, in a small way, help even out that inequity for thousands of Oregonians. It would help the struggling families to provide for themselves. As I've observed many of the Revenue Committee meetings in both houses this session, I've observed that other tax credits have been extended by the committees, and I consider that this is as worthy, if not more worthy, of those extensions of other tax credits and tax abatements. Please make this tax credit a refund to really help Oregonians who represent some of our most vulnerable, even though they are working. Thanks for the opportunity to testify. It's a good bill. Should pass.
Thank you, ma'am. Questions? Hearing and seeing none. Mr.
Chairman, other distinguished members of this committee, thank you very much.
For the record.
My name is Jerry Tippins. I'm a member of the board of Oregon Food Bank. A number of years ago, when human editors still put out newspapers, I sent some copy down to the composing room in the Oregonian one time that said, "Legislature's unfinished business." Some typesetter struggled with my handwriting, and it came back up and it said, "Legislature's unfurled berries," which my handwriting became known from that time forward. So I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, for the unfurled berries.
That explains why you called us distinguished as well, right?
As you know, Oregon Food Bank and its statewide network of 20 regional food banks and 771 local agencies fight hunger on a number of fronts. We're probably best known for the emergency food boxes that our member agencies give out. Last year alone, to 514,979 Oregonians who otherwise faced the severe threat of hunger. Or you might know us because of those who dine on the 3 million emergency meals that our member agencies prepare each year. But we look for other ways that might be even more effective in certain circumstances. Most of the 500,000 people who rely on us are the working poor and their families. We look for ways to help them get away from the emergency food box if possible, or the emergency meal, and fulfill the independence promised by the paycheck. We're striving to help them stretch their budget so that they can buy their own groceries and not have to rely on a food box at the end of every month after the money runs out. As you know, we've been working with the legislature to spare the working poor the relatively heavy tax burden their meager incomes must bear. We believe the most helpful step we could take this year is to make the Working Family Child Care Tax Credit refundable. House Bill 2716 would make it refundable. Presently, the poorest of the working poor benefit very little from the tax credit. They can only get back an amount equal to their actual tax liability, so that a mother and her two children living on a minimum wage would receive only $61 to help with child care costs, whereas a change to allow a full refund to the lowest wage households would contribute $3,360 to their annual child care bill of $8,400. And so the difference obviously would go a long way towards supporting employment and the independence that employment brings. In 1985, President Reagan spoke to this very issue when he said, and I quote, "The tax system should not be an additional burden on those who are struggling to escape from poverty. Insofar as possible, those below the poverty line should be freed from taxation altogether." Now, House Bill 2716 would not free them from taxation altogether, but it would give more value to the paycheck and more meaning to the job. Oregon Food Bank is strongly in favor of the approach, and we ask for your support. We intended to try to have a couple of families on hand today to tell you what it would really mean to them, but they're working families. We hope that you would be able to implement this bill in the 2001-2003 biennium.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your testimony. Colleagues, we have two others that would like to offer testimony on this bill, and that is, and they're coming forward even as we speak. Mr. Stagner, please come forward. Ma'am, when you're ready.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm Patty Whitney Wise, the director for the Oregon Hunger Relief Task Force. And very briefly, I'd like to make the case for what Mr. Tippins requested at the end of his testimony, and that is that this bill be funded in the 2001-2003 biennium. You're being passed out to you right now, our Hunger Headlines 2001, and I'd like to take you very quickly through a couple of charts. On the front page, the chart at the bottom of the page shows that poverty among working families with children has more than doubled since 1977. So while we have more families working, more of them are still remaining in poverty despite the wages. On the back page are two other charts, one that shows that Oregon wages lag behind the nation, another that shows that the jobs that are being created in Oregon are lower paid paying service jobs while we are losing the durable manufacturing jobs. So you can see that even as we make sure more of our families are employed, in many cases, the wages are lower and are a difficulty for them. If you open up the report, we also talk about some other things that are happening here in Oregon that I think are very critical. One, that housing costs have outstripped wages. We know that in many areas, it's not just in the urban areas, even in the rural areas, many of the costs of housing have gone up dramatically compared to wages, and so that families are spending much more than 30% of their income on housing. And as you all know, the rising health care and energy costs are also going to have an impact on those very same families. Last but not least, in the column on the poverty line, resting on outdated assumptions, when the poverty line was put together, it was based on a family spending one-third of their income on food, one-third of their income on housing, and one-third of their income on everything else. It assumed that one parent stayed home to take care of the kids. There is no allocation in the poverty line for child care, period. So you may have a family that looks like they're working at wages that bring them just above the poverty level, but if they have child care costs, it bumps them back down below the poverty level again because of those costs. For these reasons, we feel very strongly that this tax credit bill is an issue of equity for these families. And I might also add that in a time of economic downturn in the state of Oregon, This puts money into the families who are going, the pockets of families who are going to invest that money right back into their local communities. They're not going to save it for an expensive vacation or sock it away in stocks and bonds. They're going to invest it right back in their local communities that helps those economies run and in an economic hard time can help those economies survive and grow. So for all of those reasons, we very strongly support House Bill 2716A and ask that you consider very strongly funding it in this biennium. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there any questions from the committee? Anything, Mr. Pistagna?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Bob Castagna, Director of the Oregon Catholic Conference. Rather than repeat much of the testimony which has been offered previously, I will say amen to the five witnesses who have testified previously in support of this bill. I guess actually six with Representative Shetterly and Representative Rosenbaum. The Oregon Catholic Conference had introduced this session a bill to provide a refundable state-earned income tax credit, and we had that bill introduced to raise the issue of tax equity. We support 2716 and prioritize the refundable working family child care credit over the refundable state-earned income tax credit, both of which bills we believe are necessary and programs and policies necessary to help lift people out of poverty. The Campaign for Fairness has two goals, one to maintain the safety net of state programs for vulnerable people, be they poor women, children, families, or seniors and disabled people, but secondly, to help lift people out of poverty. And we believe the approach of the refundable earned income credit and the bill you have before you, 2716, the refundable working family child care credit, are two policies that will help lift people out of poverty. We support the request that's been made before you also to advance this refundable working family child care credit to the 2001-2003 biennium. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Castagna. I've been mispronouncing your name for all these years. Any other questions or any questions for the committee members? I am seeing none. I think we've established a strong record of support from the witnesses for this concept. We will take it forward to the co-chairs. We're going to close the public hearing now on this measure and go to Senate Bill 260. So we'll close the public hearing on... House Bill 2716.
Wait.
Oh, thank you. Did we pass that other bill? No, actually, we're going to do that later.
I'm a little curious if we get to that.
Ready up?
I think so.
Okay. We're going to open the work session on Senate Bill 260. 260 was heard on April 24th. Discussion on the motion by Senator George was to move the original bill to the floor. It was interrupted by adjournment. In order to complete the unfinished business, I now place Senator George's motion before the committee and recognize Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I request unanimous consent to withdraw my motion.
Senator George requests unanimous consent to withdraw his motion to move Senate Bill 260 to the floor as drafted. Are there any questions? Senator George?
Well, I think the major issue is that since that time, we have had substantial progress amongst the groups to actually agree to some additional amendments. And with that, it would be a good thing to allow that discussion to proceed.
If there are no objections, so ordered. Senator Duncan, welcome. That was a, I'll just sit here and listen.
Concerned
listen. Thank you, Senator Duncan. We have not enough members to move to move anywhere now. What an interesting day this has been.
Short of a quorum.
Yeah, we're a little short of a quorum. We're going to be in recess when we get a quorum back to go into work session on this bill. I think I'll step into the hallway.